And it's Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston, and today we are blessed with Celia Fenn from Star Child Global. Welcome, Celia.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so pleased to be able to do an interview like this face-to-face because quite often I'm getting to do a lot of phone interviews, and it's always nicer when you can really connect in with the energy because you get to see the person that you're talking to is into their eyes, which
sure.
is really how you connect the best
much better.
With people. Yes. Usually the first time I interview someone, I get us to talk about, you know, what your journey has been that has brought you to here. Now, you've had a very interesting journey, and you've been doing this for a really long time. So why don't you just talk a little bit about, because sometimes what happens is people connect in with you as a result of your journey. And
okay.
so it's just a way of sort of beginning.
Okay, well, I'll start at the end.
Okay.
At the moment, Star Child Global focuses on two main topics, and the one is indigo and crystal children, and the other one is the channelings I do with Archangel Michael.
Mm.
And they are connected because the information on the children comes from Archangel Michael.
Mm.
But to go back into my life, I first connected with Archangel Michael when I was about 5 or 6.
Wow.
And the story goes, I was at home with my mom and I went out into the garden and opened the door and I saw this huge golden angel in the garden. And I was very startled. And so I ran back inside and I said, Mom, there's a big angel in the garden. And my mom just looked at me and said, that's nice, dear, and went on with life. And that was my first connection with that energy. And I'd like to say that, you know, we talked every day after that, but it wasn't so because it took me a good long time to reconnect with that energy. So I had to grow and develop to the point where I could make the connection as a channel. And that only happened in 2001.
Mm.
But I started a conventional spiritual path, if you would like, in about 1987. At the time of harmonic convergence.
Yeah.
And learned everything I could. I started off, I was at that point working as a university professor in teaching English literature. Well, I have a PhD in English literature. And as a hobby, I started doing everything I could think of. I did astrology and tarot. And when I left my job, I trained as a massage therapist. But after a year of that, and I had all my certificates, I thought I can't earn my living rubbing bodies. It just isn't me. So I started working as a psychic, and then I decided that wasn't me either. And I developed a form of healing, which was a combination of energy work and intuitive reading. I was very influenced by Carolyn Mace and the medical intuitives, but decided that wasn't me either. So eventually developed a form of kind of psychological, spiritual work, combining counseling with moving energies. And then after I'd done that for 10 years, then Archangel Michael arrived in my life, and I started with the channeling and the website.
Well, I would imagine that bringing Archangel Michael is a pretty intense energy, and so it must have taken quite a while for you to prepare for that energy. And what was that like for you?
There was a period when Spirit worked with me to help me to align my energy with the higher energies. So over a period of about a year, I used to go to a cottage in the country and spend 3 or 4 days just working on the technique of channeling. Mm. And so it allowed me to align with higher energies. So it wasn't that difficult, but it took a long time. It wasn't something that happened overnight. It took over a year to produce the first channel I ever did.
Wow.
So I produce, what, 1 or 2 a month now, so, and I do group work. So it was just getting these skills and being able to work at a faster pace.
And is it a clear channel in that you're in deep trance, or are you in an awareness state as well?
No, I don't go into deep trance when I work. I work as a conscious channel.
Okay.
Which means you have to be able to filter out what is yours and what is coming from higher levels.
Right. Now, you also work with dolphins, whales, and you also say that you work with Mary Magdalene.
Mm.
So how does that differ? Or how have you been able to adjust and prepare yourself to be able to do these very different energies?
They tend to come in. When I worked with the whales, that was, again, 2 or 3 years of pretty intense focus on that particular kind of work. And then I moved on to something else. So it's an energy that comes in. And then the Mary Magdalene energy was when I was in France last year. That energy was brought through by Archangel Michael. So it was an energy I worked with at that time. So it kind of fits in to the alignment of all the other work I'm doing.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about that work. I mean, there's a lot of information on your website, which is Starchild Global, that talks about, you know, the Earth and the transition that the planet's going through and how we're preparing mm-hmm. ourselves. Why don't we talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get into, like, the meditations and the channelings and the children.
Okay. I suppose the best way to get into that is to talk about 2012 mm-hmm. and the prophecies that the Earth would go through major transformation by that time. And the work I do with Archangel Michael is helping people to understand the form the transition or transformation is taking for individual people in their own lives, because I think the focus of this transformation is inner change, that people have to change the way they perceive and the way they feel in order to reach a higher level of consciousness. And that by this date of 2012, the Earth will have made that shift.
We've all seen the prophecies. I mean, and some people say that, you know, it depends on the consciousness of the planet. It depends on the consciousness of the people in the planet. You know, what do you see or what do you feel that the planet will go through?
Well, I don't think, according to Archangel Michael's channels, that there is going to be wholesale destruction and major Earth changes. I think that we have shifted the energy sufficiently for the transition to be peaceful. What it will be like after 2012, we'll have to wait and see. But my belief is that there will be peaceful change, and that in the next maybe 2 years, we're going to see a huge awakening among people, and that Canada will be one of the places where this awakening will accelerate in the future.
Do you think that?
Yeah, I think so. Having looked at and interacted with people here, a strong feeling that you're just waiting to start something major.
And do you think, like, the fear that's still in the States, is that going to interfere? Is that going to alleviate some? Is it? I mean, they're really building on that fear ever since, you know, September 11th, and it's been building and building. And so they're going to try. There's something else that's probably going to happen that's going to try and again bring that energy down to stop.
Not necessarily. If
okay.
there is political change in the States, there might be a complete change
right.
in the way people view the future. A lot of the fear-based energy comes from pessimism and negativity. So it tends to build this dark energy in people. But if the States manages to create a different kind of political climate, then it should be a lot easier to bring in that change.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think Canada is working with the States then at this point, or do you think there's a difference in the energies between the two?
I would say there's a difference in the energies from what I've felt. I think there's more optimism spiritually and more energy at this point.
In Canada?
Yeah.
Have you been to like California, where they are also working
yeah,
very hard?
I haven't been there recently, but I do feel that each country has a different energy, mm-hmm. depending on the kind of work that Spirit wants for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Canada's kind of special. I was at Lake Louise before I came here, and we did some amazing work with the energies there. So there is some very special energy in this country.
Lake Louise is such an interesting energy as it is, because it's, I mean, we were talking earlier about how you'd just been to Niagara Falls and how
yeah.
built up that is.
Yeah. And Lake Louise is just the opposite, really, for the hotel.
Except for the hotel. But there's really not a lot around it either. I mean, it's just like this little lake that's beautiful lake, but then it's kind of in the middle of nothing with this hotel.
I think the hotel is so much a part of it.
Yes.
You don't even notice it. It's just there because it's been there for so long.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to detract from the incredible beauty in that place.
Yeah.
And the energy that is there.
And so how did you feel at Lake Louise? Like, well, I mean, you were in the mountains and, I mean, it's just a beautiful place.
It really is very beautiful and very high energy. I don't know if you know the reason why it was chosen for the Congress I went to was because it is the home of Archangel Michael in the Northern Hemisphere. The energy of Archangel Michael is concentrated at Lake Louise. So the Congress we went to was about working with the Archangel Michael energy to help to anchor archetypes for the new earth.
Mm. How did that go?
Oh, it was wonderful. There were 350 people, and we worked for a week with the energies. It was just so wonderful.
And so what is that going to do for us? What is bringing this type of energy in? How is that going to assist us with, I'm assuming we're talking about a global mass consciousness of people waking up and coming into themselves and being more present. And what is that going to look like?
It's going to be a process of change, transformation, people waking up to their potential and what they can achieve.
Do you think a lot of this new awakening, I mean, I know that I talk a little bit about, you know, Eckhart Tolle and Oprah having that teleclass that, you know, was so huge because it was so many people connected in with it. And of course, it's on the internet, which like this radio show, you know, a lot of people have access to it. And so it's almost like it was something happened during that time where it's just, it's really escalated. It's just, it was huge, really.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen more and more as the awakening accelerates. I think more and more people will be asked to contribute to this process that's going to happen. So we can expect that more and more light workers, if you want to call them that, are going to be called to assume more responsibility for helping people to awaken. And that the media, like the internet and internet radio and television maybe, are going to be the ways in which the message will be brought across.
Most of the people that I've talked to believe it's going to be very positive and very graceful, easing into 2012 where this will happen. And
I think so. I think that already we've had most of the transformations and changes, the big ones, and that we're just working with graceful, peaceful energy into 2012. So I really don't expect any major catastrophes.
That's good. The energy of the planet, how is the planet doing?
The planet's doing very well. One of the things we worked with at Lake Louise was healing the earth in terms of the fissures and the cracks in the earth so that there wouldn't be major earthquakes. So the planet herself is experiencing more wholeness and more peace. And it might not seem like that because the media makes such a big thing about every small event or even some of the bigger ones. So we might feel as though we're living in a world where the catastrophe is one day after the other. But if you look at it, in fact, we are living in a fairly peaceful world at the moment. And I believe that the statistics have shown that there is less war and less violence than there's ever been on the planet. And then that is quite surprising for most people because the media tends to make so much of it.
That's probably very surprising to hear because you certainly are thinking that the energy in the Middle East, for example, is an energy that feels very dark and very heavy, where not being there, not knowing really what's going on, but it feels very different. And certainly the power struggle with oil and how that has started to impact again, you know, the fear base in society. But I like knowing that this is going much more peacefully than it sounds.
Yes, that's true. And I believe that in the next couple of years, there will be peace in the Middle East.
No, that would be wonderful.
I think we're going to see major changes after the U.S. elections. There will be a different kind of energy that will be operating, and I think that there will be peace.
I do like the changes that are probably going to happen with the political system in the States. So I'm pretty happy about Obama probably, you know, coming in and changing.
Well, I asked Archangel Michael if Obama would in fact get in, and he says it's up to the Americans. We have to wait and see
Is it really,
what choices they make. Well, you know, they might make great choices. You never know what might happen in the next few months to make them make the right choice for their future path.
I sometimes wonder how much it has actually to do with the people and how much it has to do with, you know, the system and how the system sort of makes the changes themselves. But
I think that's where intention comes in. If people hold a strong enough intention for change, then the system cannot really do anything. I think we have to realize how powerful we are, and that if we really decide that we want something, nothing can stand in the way of what we intend and what we create with spirit.
That's a good point. I think that's probably where we forget a lot of our power, is that, you know, it is in the intent and what we want.
Well, people, when they go into fear, they forget that they are powerful and that they can change anything.
I think we've been asleep for a long time. I'm glad that we're starting to wake up.
Yeah, it's about time. But that is the essence of the transformation, is that we as the population of the earth will make the decisions that will transform the way we live and take us into higher consciousness.
Well, I'm pleased with everything you're saying about the earth and the transitions and the transformation happening. Let's talk a little bit about your meditations. I know that you do say with Archangel Michael that you know, it's about the sacred heart. So I assume it's about coming back into our hearts. And I know I've worked with a lot of people lately, and, you know, I've had a combination of people that work from their hearts and people that work from their solar plexus. And it's a very unique and very different energy. And the people that work from their solar plexus are often you know, very driven, very motivated by manifesting and creating, and that there's this drive and real focused energy. And the people with the heart, of course, it's all about love, and it's a very unique but very different
energy.
Yeah.
Well, according to Archangel Michael, the difference between what we call the old energy or the third dimension and the new energy or the fifth dimension is, in fact, that in the fifth dimension we operate from the heart chakra and from love. So working with a sacred heart meditation is a way that we can raise our consciousness from the solar plexus into the heart chakra. That meditation was given to me by Archangel Michael in France, and it is essentially about the work I do with the Magdalene. I did a workshop in Toronto about the teachings of the Magdalene, and what has been lost from Christianity is the understanding that we can connect with the divine feminine energy, which is love and nurturing and caring, and create a different kind of consciousness and a different kind of society. Because what was lost from our tradition was that very essential goddess energy that is now coming back. And the Sacred Heart Meditation enables us to reconnect with the goddess energy and balance it with the male energy or the god energy, and then create the basis for manifestation and creation on the planet.
Tell me a little bit about what that feels like or looks like. I mean, I know I work a lot from the heart, so I very intentionally focus a lot of my energy there. But there are a lot of people that seem to have a problem with understanding the difference between their ego, their heart, their, you know, their intuition, that, you know, how do you talk about that? I love the feminine energy as well, because I think that's just such a really started coming in the 60s, but it didn't really start coming in until, you know, the 90s, really, that it's really truly anchored now. And so now we are learning how to balance. And I think that's also part of what's had to happen, that it's never been, or maybe from, you know, very long time ago. I don't think, I think we had a feminine energy time, and then I think we had a masculine energy. And now we're coming into balance and bringing the two together. But talk a little bit about what it's like to, you know, be in the heart and what that means, and then talk a little bit about what the feminine versus the masculine.
Well, I think being in the heart means to work with feeling and intuition and unconditional love, and to move away from an ego-based way of operating, which means that you are focused on personality and success and achievement and duality. You come into conflict with people because of the needs of your ego. When you move into the heart space, you tend to find that life flows, because unconditional love allows you to be much more accepting and much more open to other people and to what they need and want in their own lives. And so in your life, life becomes less of a struggle and more of a flow. And so working from the heart allows you to cease to struggle in life and to create what you need to create abundance in your life and to create happiness and joy. So the idea of creating heaven on earth is when people are enabled to create abundance and joy by operating their lives from their heart.
I mean, you have the meditation right on your website, so people can actually listen to it and read it and do what they want. But do you have any guidance for how people, you know, get out of that ego place? Sometimes it's in the head, sometimes it's in the solar plexus, but how do they get out of that and focus on their heart?
Well, I think that's a choice that people have to make. They have to decide that they really want to become part of that process. And then it's about defining what your ego is about. What are the choices that your ego makes? And that's looking at the patterns of behavior that you have that are perhaps dysfunctional or codependent. And then working to create new patterns, to make choices based on love, unconditional love, rather than based on the old patterns of sorrow and depression or fear. And basically all you need to do, it sounds simple, is to look at your behaviors and see where you are in what I would call old energy, or where you could make a choice to be in new energy.
And it's really that simple?
No, actually. Because in order to get to that point, you have to go on a personal journey where you understand yourself and you can look at your life and the patterns that you run and really make a choice not to do that anymore, but to be in a different kind of behavior pattern. So that requires you to really come to know yourself and to know who you are and what you want in life. And that's quite a journey.
It is a journey. And I think a lot of people ask, what's the difference between unconditional love, self-love? How do you get to that place? I mean, there's no steps to help people. It's really part of understanding and becoming more aware of how you react or can respond instead of reacting, and learning from that place, you know, about yourself so that you can be unconditionally loving. But you also have to learn to love yourself, because I think especially if maybe in North America, maybe more than any, because of the media, it's so profound and so huge in our culture that, you know, we are always comparing ourselves, or we're always being compared to someone else that's always better, that's always, you know, there's always this comparison that's being happening. And people really don't know how to get that self-confidence, don't know how to get that self-love. And so how can you have unconditional love if you don't even know how to love yourself?
Well, what happens in that case is that people are looking outside of themselves for role models and taking on the media images of what we should be. And if you turn it around and say, okay, deep inside of us is a part of the Creator and a part of God, and we have unconditional love in our hearts, and the process of reconnecting with love is to reconnect with your heart and with your deep inner self, because that part of you knows fully the essence of love. You're not going to find love out there. You're not going to find self-worth out there. You're going to find it in your heart and within yourself. And the journey to consciousness is always the journey within. And then you change your perception of the outer world.
And I guess that is it. I mean, that is what you do. It's not something out there. It can never be something.
No, it's always something in your own heart. And it's about your relationship with the Creator.
And sometimes you can see that through a relationship you're having. And sometimes you really have to get it from within first.
Yeah, well, the outer world is often, well, is always a mirror for what is going on within you. So if you look at what's happening in your life, you can often see where perhaps you need to move closer to love and to God and to understand yourself better.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, we're talking about, you know, the polarities and the male and feminine energy and how they're coming into balance. That's such a crucial part of this journey right now, and such a crucial part of the energies that are being brought onto the planet, that I'm assuming this is a pretty big deal that we're coming into balance for the first time or in a long time.
That's true, because we have lived with what we would call a patriarchal society for probably about 2,000 years or longer. So bringing back that balance of the feminine energy is, as you say, a big deal. And it happened really quickly because, as you mentioned earlier, we started in about the 60s and the 70s. And by the beginning of the century, pretty much in place. So the return of the goddess energy has been one of the key events that has allowed for the transformation of the planet. We couldn't have transformed unless we had re-embraced the feminine energy.
You know, we've been so patriarchal that, you know, it's hard to know as we come into this beautiful, blissful energy, what that, you know, how that's going to change our lives unless we're really aware and really conscious. I mean, it really impacts who we are, and that energy that flows from us is just, it's so different. So it's, I think it's caused a lot of relationship problems. I think it's caused, you know, huge, not upheaval, but just really focused intention of what they want, because it's such a beautiful energy, but it's just so foreign to what they knew.
Well, I think relationship problems is one of the essences of the transformation. Most people suddenly walk into a wall in their relationships. And when I was working as a counselor, I found that people after 30 years of marriage would suddenly get divorced because all of a sudden it wasn't working for them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the return of the goddess energy, because what had worked before in the old structures was now no longer working for people. And so people have had to redefine who they are and what they want, and to look very closely at the relationship patterns they have and where they are playing victim energy and where they are playing controlling energy, and to move into a much more loving and unconditional way of being with their partner in order for the relationship to work.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's more than just the relationship working. In the new earth energy, the promise is that we will have ecstatic and blissful relationships rather than just partnerships, because the energy will be so balanced and will flow so beautifully that a relationship will become an absolute joy. And I think that was what was intended for us when we were created, that we should experience our partner as the essence of God or the divine feminine or masculine. So all the relationship problems that people are going through is to really help them to learn who they are and what they want from relationships in order to create a much more balanced and joyful relationship.
Do you think that the way it is and the shifts that are happening, I mean, we're to become fully balanced as our own being first as well?
Yeah, the inner male and female within you have to become balanced before you can create a balanced relationship in the outer world.
And so right now, it's really an adjustment period, because we've been overflowed with this wonderful goddess energy, and it's now learning us how to bring that into balance with the masculine.
Yeah, yeah. Because as you say, there was a kind of a swing over and the masculine energy struggled a bit.
Yeah.
But I think now it's coming back into balance, especially with the younger generation who seem to be more in touch with these energies because they were born with that ability than the older generations, who are still struggling to redefine themselves and repattern who they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the children, because that's a huge part of what you're all about. So
yeah, sure. That's one of the things I really enjoy in my work. Do you want me to talk about the channeled work or the project that I run, or where shall we start?
Start with the channeled, and then we'll go into the project.
Okay. Around about 2004, I think, Archangel Michael started bringing through a lot of information about indigo children and then the crystal children. And the essence of it is that the children are at very advanced souls, and that they are the ones who have, let's say, carried the transformation. They have been born with the advanced or higher vibrational energy that has enabled the planet to make the shift. So they have, in fact, carried us through the shift with their energy. And so what Archangel Michael tried to convey in the work we did in the book that I wrote was that we should be supportive of our children and we should understand them. A lot of them have what they call ADD, behavioral problems, et cetera, et cetera. And instead of seeing these as social dysfunctions, we should understand that part of the work of these new children was to show us what was wrong with our culture and to change our way of socializing and being with children so that we could make the world more comfortable for them, because they are helping us so much.
Hmm. That must be interesting for some of the parents when you discuss this.
Well, quite often the parents can't see. They're trying to fit their child into the system. And of course, that is doing more damage to the child, who is already angry and frustrated because they're not able to express themselves. So trying to persuade the parent to see that they don't have to fit their child into the system, but that they need to nurture the child to step into its full potential, seems to be the major challenge when working with parents who have indigo children.
Mm. And what is the difference? I mean, I kind of have, because I feel energy. I mean, I feel the energy difference between the indigos and crystals. Mm-hmm. The crystals are extraordinarily sensitive, where the indigos are very, very strong. And they sort of have, they already know what they want, and they, you know, there's a very specific, there's just a very different feel to them. And part of me feels like it's, they're all sort of one, but it's just a different, they're just at a different vibration, or they're at a different stage.
I think that's mostly what it is. The indigos were born first, and their work was to break down or transform society through breaking down systems or limitations. So they came in as often very angry and very powerful. But then when the crystal children came, they came afterwards, and their work was to open people's hearts and to reconnect with the intuitive flow. So they are much softer and much more gentle. The way Archangel Michael explains it is that the indigos transition into the crystal state. So in the next couple of years, we should see less angry young people and many more who are moving into the crystalline state, who are peaceful and open and loving.
I mean, there are obviously lots of adult indigos. Is that the same with them? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, is everybody evolving into this crystalline state? Is that what the purpose of what's happening?
Yeah, the physical transformation and the emotional, mental transformations. The crystalline state is what I would call Christ consciousness. Mm. It's holding that higher consciousness. And yes, there have been indigo adults since the 1940s, the first ones came in. And so they're also going this journey from the indigo state, where they break down limitations and barriers, into the crystal state of holding Christ consciousness and moving into divine consciousness. And there are many, many adults today who are doing that process.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say, too, that a lot of people say to me, why do you label this, you know, who is an indigo child and who is a crystal child? It's just for convenience sake, because I think that the indigo children is a generational thing. Every child was indigo to a greater or lesser extent, and the same with crystal children. So that every child being born today probably has some crystal characteristics. It's just that some are more able to access the crystalline abilities. So it's not a good idea to think of it in terms of labeling my child as a crystal and this one isn't, but to see it as a generational shift in children.
Mm-hmm. And it's really a matter of, you know, all of us waking up. I mean, it's not a matter of us not being able to achieve that state. It's just because we have it within us to do it. It's a matter of us, you know, becoming more aware and conscious and going into the heart. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think that those of us who are doing that kind of hard work now will eventually see the rewards for that, being that other people will come later and make that shift very quickly. They won't have to go the consciousness path so devotedly as we have. They will just be able to shift into it because we have done the work for them to open the pathway for them.
It's so hard being the pioneers, isn't it?
Isn't it? Such hard work. But we volunteered for it.
We did.
And I think if I say so myself, we're doing a pretty good job.
I think we are too. I'd really like to see the contract, though.
Maybe read it more carefully next time. Yeah.
I thought I could do what? So what do you see happening then with the children, and why are, like, because it really is a huge thing that's happening. And obviously, as you already said, it's about them helping us evolve. So, but it's so big right now. Like, is there any possibility that this is not going to work?
No.
Good.
You know, one of the things I say to people who think that the earth is going to be destroyed and you know, disasters, do they think that God would send so many beautiful souls as children if they were just going to be destroyed? You know, there's a real purpose for these advanced souls coming to the planet. And because more and more of them are coming in, there is no way that this is going to fail this time. As I've been told, we've already reached, on the spiritual levels, the point of no return. We are in the new earth. And what we're doing now is manifesting it into the material. And so, absolutely, we are creating something really new with these children.
And so it wouldn't have happened without the children?
No. I think a lot of light workers don't give enough credit to the input of the children and their energies in creating this new earth.
Because it's the ego.
No. In our culture, we just don't notice children. We eliminate them from our way of thinking. And one of the changes that they have brought is that we begin to see them as powerful spiritual beings and that they can teach us a great deal rather than just small people who get in our way when we do the important stuff.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Is that why you also connect with the dolphins and the whales? Because they're obviously a different energy, but you know they've been sort of the wisdom keepers for so long to hold that energy.
They've been an important part of creating the new earth because part of the work was to create a grid system of new earth energies. And the dolphins and the whales were the ones who held that energy and used it to create the new grid system. Mm. Because of the way they are, the way they function, they work with sound. And putting the sound into the system, the grid system, enables it to be tuned because the planet is light and frequency. And the dolphins and the whales are the keepers of those frequencies. So they basically taught us how to do it by working with various people and showing them how to hold frequency and how to become keepers of the earth for the new earth, because they are gifting us with these abilities at this time.
And is that also part of the crop circles? Is that also the gridding?
That's an interesting one. I think crop circles are communicating to us in the language of sacred geometry, which means they are teaching us about the geometric structures of the crystalline grids of the earth, yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's interesting for me because I was in a crop circle about 3 weeks ago.
I saw the picture, yeah.
Yeah, it was the first experience for me and was very interesting. But I still need to think a bit more about
what
they're about and what they really mean, because they're becoming much more prolific and much more complex. So, you know, wondering what is the development and what is happening in the world of crop circles.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing. And obviously there's a lot of, you know, misinformation out there as to what it is and why it is. And is it aliens? Is it, you know, like, yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's not man-made. I think it's definitely coming from spiritual levels. But, you know, how and where and what, there's very many theories, and I think we need to sit with them and really feel what really made the most sense, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about your project then with the children.
Okay, I come from Africa, and as you probably know, there's a great deal of poverty and disease and hardship in Africa, and I live with this on my front doorstep practically. One of the things with the changes in South Africa was that our culture, our society has become very mixed, and the poverty is very close to you. So I chose this community, which is basically 5 minutes drive from where I live, to try to help the children in the community, to give them the prospect of a better life by ensuring that they had enough to eat and giving them educational opportunities. Without doing this, most of them don't get enough to eat. They don't learn because they go to school and they're hungry and they can't concentrate. They have no opportunities beyond basic high school, and most of them become drug addicts.
Really?
Crystal meth is very strong at the moment in the community, and it's a very destructive drug. And adding to that is the prevalence of AIDS in the community as well. And just before I left, I did some work, and we were horrified at the amount of people who were dying. You know, I just go into a community, and you see someone the next day, they'd be dead because of the AIDS problem. So the work I do with the project is to try to bring hope, to try to bring support, to try to create a community where the children know they are supported, even if their parents aren't there or their parents can't support them. And I think that's the essence of what I call the Paradise Earth, is that every child has or knows that they are accepted and wanted and supported, even though they might not have that in their own home. So the essence of the project is to try and bring that spiritual support and compassion and love into this particular community. And we just started a similar project in South America as well, and with people in Argentina. So we're hoping to extend the basic principles of the project, because we're not looking at a specific area. We're not looking at AIDS or hunger. We kind of bring them all together, but we look at a community and what we can do for a community. And the essence of the project is finding someone in the community who can partner with you and tell you what that community needs in terms of the needs of the children.
Mm. And what would that look like? What could some of those projects be, or what might that?
Well, the most important one where we started was the feeding scheme. so that we use some of the money that is donated to ensure that the children are fed. We have at the moment, three what we call them mothers, who cook meals for the children, which is a supplement to what they are given at home. So we are just ensuring that they get enough and they don't go hungry. And that enables them to grow and to function and to go to school and to do what they need to do. Then the next level we moved to was educational bursaries. So we pay school fees, we pay college fees, so that they can gain the education they need to put back into their community. And the more recent one is the health program we're running to try and make a difference to the AIDS problem and to support people who have lost parents or have lost someone in the family. We do food parcels. We help them with money where we can.
Now, is AIDS really an education thing or is it something else? Like what, where and why did that come?
That's a very controversial question.
I guess it is, yeah.
There are many views of what AIDS really is. It's difficult because next year we're training an AIDS counselor for our project. And of course, the person is going to get the conventional training. But I also feel that I would like to bring in more alternative views of AIDS. And my own view of AIDS is that it's, it has much more to do with the way Africans are brought up. They live with malnutrition. And they have for a very long time. As babies, they are given vaccinations, a lot of them. And then as they come older, when they go to the clinics, these clinics that are set up, the standard treatment is antibiotics. So by the time they are in adult years, their immune system is so undermined that it cannot actually cope with anything. So I think that AIDS is much more a social problem to do with malnutrition and lifestyle than anything else.
Well, we're going to create change there too.
When I travel around with the project and I speak to people, so many people come to me and say they want to help or they know of a treatment that works and something that's really very simple that can make a difference. So I'm sure in the next few years there's going to be a real shift in the way that AIDS is perceived and treated in Africa.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the music, because that seems to also be a big thing on your website. And I think music seems to capture people's hearts and their souls.
Yeah, I think music is very important. Archangel Michael said to me a couple of years ago to ensure that the work I did had music with it, because music is a way of speaking to people's hearts and souls. Sometimes what you say in terms of words bypasses their feelings. But the music always tends to bring that to their hearts. And so I do have a lot of music on my website. And people often write to me and say how much they enjoy the music because I'm very selective about what kind of music I put on and the nature of the artist. But I'm also very lucky because people send me stuff. And I get all these wonderful songs coming to me. If you've been on the website recently, you might notice the one I'm using on the homepage at the moment. It's called To Be One, which was written by a Canadian writer. I think it's written and sung by Canadians. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the reason why I'm in Canada, was making the connection with Cheryl Hutton, who wrote the song, and coming across here to do the most wonderful event. I'm going to call it an event because it was kind of a hybrid of a concert and a spiritual event. So it was something really quite new for me to experience. And I must say, it was really a wonderful experience.
Nice.
And I think in the future, we're going to be doing a lot more of these kind of hybrid things where people can blend spirituality and music and art and dance and all the art forms and create an experience of higher consciousness that really speaks to all levels of their beings. And I felt that working with this particular event was like a role model or a seed for events in the future where we can really create an energy of joy through music and dance and creativity. Because so many light workers are very creative and it's just a pure joy to work with creativity and spirituality expressed in this way. So what I'm seeing in the future is that there will be more of these kinds of events and different people doing these kinds of things and them getting bigger and bigger because they're a way of transmitting the energy of awakening and enlightenment in an environment that is fun and joyous and people associate with relaxation and enjoying themselves rather than the hard work of the spiritual journey.
So that's a way of bypassing some of the harder work and going right straight to the heart and your soul?
I think so. I think we've already had examples of people being awakened or made to think of different things through attending an event like the concert we did. It made them see things differently and experience life differently. Hmm. So it is a very powerful way of transmitting the higher vibrational message of the new earth.
And certainly the children don't need to have any introduction into music.
No.
And how to dance. And
No. Well, the focus of this particular event was peace.
Hmm.
And I think a lot of people identified with the concept of wanting peace and creating peace. And that enabled us to offer them the different modalities and different arts as on and around the theme of peace.
Nice. I've also interviewed both Ed and Cheryl.
Okay, that's great.
Their music and how it sort of came about. And so it is a great song that really helps people connect.
Well, that's why I think Canada is kind of important in the new energy. If you go to my web page, the front page right at the moment, I have Cheryl's song, but I also have a YouTube video from a woman called Bonnie Sincroix, who is Canadian.
Oh, okay.
And also wrote a peace song called, what's it called? You Are the Reason. And it's a very beautiful song. So there's this incredible energy coming out of Canada about peace and change and how individuals need to work to make that change. So I think there's something happening in Canada that is very special at this point.
That's great. And now we know that Archangel Michael is in
the Lake Louise.
Lake Louise, yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, really special energies here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Do you want to talk about the Grail Codes or the significance of the Grail Codes?
That's an interesting one. It has to do with the work I did in France last year. The Grail is popular, the search for the Holy Grail and what is the Holy Grail. And Archangel Michael pointed out to us that we are the Grail ourselves and that we hold the sacred light that comes from the Creator. And so the end of the spiritual quest or the spiritual journey is to find that you are sacred and that you are the chalice that holds the light from source. And so we did a series of channels working with Mary Magdalene because she was the one who held the Grail energy in her work. And the tradition of the Grail comes from southern France, which is where the teachings of the Magdalene were held. And so in the last year, we have received what we'll call the Grail Code activations, meaning that we have opened ourselves to the knowledge that we are the Grail, we are light, and we are moving into the state of divinity, which is the Grail essence. So it was just the way Archangel Michael explained to people that within our being is all that we need to achieve enlightenment and awakening and higher consciousness.
Mm.
But it's interesting that in Europe especially, a lot of people are very interested in the Grail stories because that's home to the Grail legends. And so it's been a way of helping them to awaken to what is going on in the transformation process.
I mean, obviously there's a lot of controversy with regards to Christianity as to the whole relationship between Jesus having the Christ energy and then Mary Magdalene holding the divine feminine, from what you're saying. So this was a very important time in our history, even though we weren't quite ready to bring the balance in or to, but there obviously was something very important that happened at that time.
Well, the way it was explained to me by Archangel Michael was that when Spirit looked at our evolution, they saw what was needed, the balance was needed. So they sent Mary Magdalene and Christ, and together they formed the Christ energy. It wasn't that he was the Christ and she was something else. They were both the Christ as one. But Spirit also knew that it would probably take us about 2,000 years to really get it and to evolve into the place where we were ready to embrace that truth. And as we pointed out earlier, it happened very quickly. Mm. It took about 50 years and it was done. So after nearly 2,000 years of struggling to get that balance back, it has now been achieved. And so the Grail Codes have been activated in us.
Mm. And it's just a matter of us finding them within and knowing that it's our own essence and not something, again, outside of
us. Something outside of us that we have to look for, yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that, you know, they look for teachers and they look for gurus and they, you know, they keep looking outside themselves to find that place inside. How do you get people to go inside? How do you get people to understand that it's not, you know, someone outside of us? It's not that teachers are great because they, you know, they may have an essence or an energy that can assist us, but ultimately we can't keep going to the teacher. Ultimately, we have to find our own inner.
Well, I think that's part of the process and the journey. On my own journey, I realized that I was reading the same book over and over again. And every time a new book came out, I think, well, this is the answer. And this is the great new thing. And you'd read it and think, well, actually, I've read that before.
Yeah.
And it's just the last book kind of reformatted. And eventually you realize that you're not finding it outside. The answer has to come from somewhere else. And that's when you start to turn inwards. But first, I think you need to get an overdose of the outside stuff. Because again, spiritual media markets every new book, you know, is the answer and the great secret and whatever. And we have to move beyond the quick fix mentality into understanding that we're not going to buy a book or go to a workshop that's going to suddenly awaken us. It's something that happens within us, and it's a process. But we have to open ourselves to that process and trust that process within ourselves and trust that we do, in fact, know everything we need to know in our own hearts.
Yeah. It's an interesting process, though.
Yes. I think it's an exciting process. As we get more into it, we do see the most amazing and miraculous changes in ourselves and then also on the planet, if we're open to understanding how this process is working.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been such a delight talking with you. I really have enjoyed this. Is there anything else that you would like to impart before you leave about, you know, what we could do or to assist us in this incredible journey that we're on right now?
Well, as Archangel Michael said, I think just be very aware that change is going to accelerate and that if you're on a spiritual path now, you're going to be asked to help other people to make that change and that transition. So be open to the fact that your work is going to expand and accelerate in the future, and don't be surprised when lots of people start asking you questions and asking for your guidance at this time.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything you'd like to say about starchildglobal.com?
Yeah, I'd love it if people visited the website and had a look at what we have to offer. There is, as we mentioned, the music and the channels and a section on the children's project and meditation material. I also offer channels and private readings on the website. And we're looking at starting a new section on food to help people to make better food choices for themselves. So the site is always being updated. I do the channels and I do a section called An Earth Log, where I talk about what's going on in the world and what the changes mean in terms of my perception and what Archangel Michael has to say. So there's always something to read. And many people do check into the site almost every day to see what's new. So I just like to invite people to come and have a look and see if there's something there that they resonate with and would enjoy.
Lovely. Well, it's been, again, a pleasure, Celia. I really enjoyed this interview. I hope we get you back in Canada soon so we can have
next
another
time.
One.
Yeah. Thank you, Laurie. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Above.